ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Text 54. Agnihi Suryo Diva Prahnah Shuklo Rakottaram Swara Vishvodha Taijasa Prajnas Turya Atma Samanvaya. Translation. On his path of ascent, the progressive living entity enters the different worlds of fire, the sun, the day, the end of the day, the bright fortnight of full moon, and the passing of the sun in the north, along with their presiding demigods. When he enters Brahmaloka, he enjoys life for many millions of years, and finally, his material designation comes to an end. He then comes to a subtle designation from which he attains the causal designation, witnessing all previous states. Upon the annihilation of this causal state, he attains his pure state, in which he identifies the super soul. In this way, the living entity becomes transcendental. There is no purport, so we'll read 55 and 56, translation and purport. This gradual process of elevation for self-realization is meant for those who are truly aware of the absolute truth. After repeated birth on this path, which is known as Devayana, one attains these consecutive stages. One who is completely free from all material desires, being situated in the self, need not traverse the path of repeated birth and death. Even though situated in a material body, one who is fully aware of the paths known as the Pitriyana and the Devayana, and who has thus opened his eyes in terms of Vedic knowledge, he is never bewildered in this material world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Acharyavan Purusho Vedam. One who is guided by the bona fide spiritual master knows everything as stated in the Vedas, which set forth the standard of infallible knowledge. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, Acharyopasanam, one must approach the Acharya for real knowledge. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum evabhigachet. One must approach the Acharya, for then one will receive perfect knowledge. When guided by the spiritual master, one attains the ultimate goal of life. In this chapter, Srila Narada Muni is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, telling him about the activities of the civilized human beings. Here civilization in civilized means spiritually elevated. Today civilized means how much materially elevated a person is, irrespective of what their level of consciousness or their activities are. If a person is materially advanced, knows knowledge, how to exploit material nature in a very expert way to his advantage, that is considered as civilized. Refined in terms of speech, refined in terms of dress, that is criteria for civilization. But Krishna calls it Anarya Jushtamma Swargyam. Anarya. This is Arya. Arya means one whose aspiration is spiritual advancement. So here instructions for civilized human beings or brahmanas is given. Specifically in these verses that we are studying today, the path to be traversed by such civilized human beings, that is being explained. And it is described how there are different kinds of paths, as previously explained in the few verses back, pravritti marga and nivritti marga. Pravritti means you gratify your senses and very gradually, one by one, you know, like a vehicle that takes you sightseeing to all the different places. If you want, you can just get down, enjoy for some time, get inside, then, you know, when you're satisfied and said, yes, sab kuch dekh liya, sab kar liya, now let us go. That's one path. Pravritti marga. The path of trying to enjoy before, after enjoying and realizing the futility that, nay, what I was looking for is not here. Then a person decides to leave. That is one path. And the other one is nivritti marga. Nivritti means a path of giving up that which is unfavorable. But to realize actually what is favorable and what is unfavorable, we need to know who we are, what our real needs are, and how to achieve it. And therefore, here, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, and this is impossible to know. The material world is designed in such a way that without a Acharya, without the a preceptor who is thoroughly knows the nature of this world through the scriptures and knows exactly what is its purpose and how to pass through without getting attached, or how to pass through this whole path alipta without getting caught up. That is very essential. Otherwise it is very bewildering. If we try to analyze this material world, trying to go into detail and trying to understand exactly how it is, it's very entangling. There are very, very big scientists trying to analyze this world, trying to, you know, threadbare, trying to understand things so that they can know how it works, so that they can actually use it for their purpose. Exploit it for their own enjoyment. So one of the very famous scientists in his peak of his scientific career, very openly and very honestly expressed his contribution are regarded as, you know, very, very significant in this world, created a revolution. And this scientist expressed in the peak of his career that I realized that all the studies that I have done after using all my brain is like one grain of sand on a seashore. We can never know all the complexities and all the complete nature of this world ever. And another thing is, if you answer one question, there are 10 others that arise which you don't know. That's another part of this. You solved one thing, but that leads to 10 other questions which is not answered. It is actually impossible. It's absolutely impossible to, for anyone, any one entity to know the nature of anything for that matter, what to speak of material, anything, without the mercy of the Lord coming through the scriptures, Maya Mugdha Jiver Nahi Svata Krishna Gyan, Jivere Kripaya Koila Krishna Veda Puran. Maya Mugdha Jiver Nahi Svata Krishna Gyan. Maya Mugdha, one who is actually conditioned, he can never understand. This world is full of perplexities. Especially because we are conditioned. We don't even know we are conditioned. All the defects of conditioning is there. Condition means we see under certain conditions. We are conditioned to see in a particular way. Therefore, we can't see things in its proper perspective. So, in a conditioned state, one cannot understand this. Only by the coming in contact with a self-realized soul, because self-realization and God-realization goes hand in hand. Complete self-realization means to know the nature of the self, as not the body, as the soul, but the complete understanding of that self is, alright, but what is the nature of the soul? Mamaivamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanadana. That is self-realization. So self-realization is incomplete without God-realization. Because you should know, what is the nature of the self? You can't understand the finger without understanding it. Its complete understanding would be when you understand in relationship with the body. That is complete understanding. So that, when once that is known, then the path is very clear. Then he is focused. Then he is not going to be entangled anywhere. Because he is clearly the goal. But if the goal is not clear, our goal is something temporary and something limited, then there is a chance of getting lost. So there are two paths basically. One that goes up and one that goes down. Ashraddhana, Krishna says in the Gita, Ashraddhana Purusha, Dharmasyasya Parantapa, Aprapyamam Nivartante, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Vartmani means direction. Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Ashraddhana, one who does not have faith in the scriptures, in the soul, in the Lord, in the spiritual world, then Dharmasya Asya, then how does he know what is Sanatana Dharma? So, aprapyamam, he will never achieve me. Forget about achieving me. Aprapyamam, nivartante, mrityu samsara vartmani. He goes down. But then there is path that goes up. Apavarga vartmani. This is pavarga. Pavarga means you go down in the suffering of this world where there is parishram, suffering, so much of hard work, phena, foaming at the mouth, bandhana, everything is entangling, bhaya is bhaya, always fearful, and mo is mrityu. Death means back to square one. So this is pavarga vartmani. But then there is apavarga vartmani, shraddharatir bhakti anukramishyati. So there are two paths, one that goes down and one that goes up. For those who are uncivilized human beings, the path is always going down. Moghasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana. All their aspirations will prove futile. All their endeavors will prove futile. And all their so-called knowledge is ultimately is going to prove futile in terms of solving the real problems of life. Whereas for the civilized human beings, there are two paths. Actually, three paths. Three. Two broadly. One is gradual and another one is direct. Just like Prabhupada says, there is a staircase way and then there is an elevator way. So the staircase way is of two varieties, that also. And that is, one is Karmakanda. That's what he is talking about. Karmakanda. Or fruitive mentality. Doing something to enjoy, remain in this world. So they don't know anything higher than this world. So their goal is, go to the heavenly planets. That's all. Because this is not so, I want to always look, everyone looks for a better material facility, always. A place of better material facility. Somebody is probably in Dharavi is looking for coming, settling down Grand Road or this and from there somewhere. And from there to some other better place within Mumbai, posh locality in Mumbai. From there probably go abroad. Everyone is trying to improve their facility, material facility. That's the only place they know. Unless they know something better, they want to go there. So, for a person who knows all the thing that he knows is this universe, if he knows about heavenly planets, he wants to go there. So, there he goes. But what happens there is, after exhausting the pious credits, even though he is a civilized human being, follows scriptures, has faith, but kshine punye martyalokam vishanti, evam trayi dharmam anuprapanna. All the Vedas he follows. Gata agatam. Sometimes he goes up, sometimes he comes down. So even though the path is leading up, there is a chance of, not chance, guaranteed that you will fall down. Eventually you have to slip and fall. Even if not slip, eventually you will be brought down. When you exhaust your pious credits. So that is one path, the pravritti marga. And it is very slow. Many, 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 many lifetimes. Sometimes for 10,000 of demigods years you may live in the heavenly planets. Or in the Brahmaloka you may live for millions of years. Enjoying, no doubt. But there is anxiety, there is fear, and there is envy. You can't overcome that. You cannot overcome. There will be anxiety, there will be fear, and there will be envy in the heart. This is the reason why they have to eventually fall down. The second is Jnana Marga, where you are convinced, Brahma Bhuvanal, from Brahma Loka down to this Patal Loka, the whole place is a mere repeated birth and death. I don't want any of this. I just want to get out of this place. Finish. Where? Wherever, but I don't want this bus. So much suffering, disgusted. He said, just like, why do people take intoxication? Though they know that it's very costly, it is very harmful. You think they are fools? They have seen, they have heard, they have read, they have probably experienced in the lives of their associates and nearby people. They have seen it. It is too much costly, too much addicting, too much harmful. Still they want to take. Why? Because the nature of this world is so much anxiety, they can't forget it. And unless they forget, they can't sleep. So forcefully, they want to intoxicate, and that is some kind of nirvana. Temporary nirvana. Getting rid of anxiety. Similarly, jnanis who are convinced, Brahma bhuvana loka punaravartina, permanently they want to go to sleep. Why? Because during the sleep, at least there is no awareness of anxiety, fear, envy, everything is silent. Hopefully. Unless you start dreaming. There is a dreamless state also. So they take a big dose so that hopefully in dreamless night, or dreamless sleep. So there is a perverted reflection of the jnanis. In a gross way, these people want to go to sleep. So that simply they want to forget. It's not that they are attached. They know it's miserable. But they can't give it up later. But even there, because the nature of the soul is to love and be loved, and that is not accessible, ultimately that love is in relationships, and that relationship is not there, he has to eventually wake up. The nature of the soul is not to sleep. The nature of the person is not to go to, you know, in an intoxication. How long can he stay in intoxication? Again he has to get up, take a little more dose, again go back. It is not possible. It's not his nature. Nature is to be lively and enjoy relationships and love. So, patanti adha, they have to fall eventually. Vimukta maninaha, they think they are liberated. Liberated from all this. Actually, in one sense, they are liberated because they understand I am not the body. They know they are not the body, they are the soul. They are not attached to sense gratification. They are very austere, the jnanis. They can analyze this matter thoroughly. They know it for what it is. They have vomited it. But then there is hunger. So they have to come back and lick again. Because there is nothing else. So they have to come back. Because the hunger is not gone. What is that hunger? The hunger of the soul. And what is that hunger? To seek relationships, to seek love, activity. The soul is dynamic. The soul is active. The soul is loving. That's not available. Therefore, all these paths, karmakanda, jnanakanda, kevala, vishera, bhanda, amrita, vuliya, jiva, khai, nana yoni sada phire kadarya bhakshana kare tar janma adhapathe jaye. Narottama Thakur says, karma kanda, jnana kanda, sakali vishera bhanda. It's actually a pot of poison. Karma kanda. It's being offered. The Vedas are offering this. Therefore Narada Muni criticized Vyasadeva. What nonsense. What are you offering? You are a saintly person. You are supposed to be delivering them. This is what you are offering? To hell with this. Now give them real amrita. Bhakti rasa amrita. Sindhu. So karma kanda, jnana kanda, sakali vishara bhanda. It's actually pot of poison. But amrita boliya jeva khai. They think amrita. They will go to heavenly planets and somaraspan. So amrita boliya jeva khai, not knowing that something higher amrita is there. Namamrita or kathamrita, Krishna kathamrita, Hari kathamritam, Tava kathamritam. One who doesn't know that, this is amrit for them. Amrita boliya jeva khai. But what is the point? What is the problem? Nana yoni sada phire. He has to come back again in this big ferris wheel. Nana yoni sada phire. Kadariya bhakshana kare. What kind of obnoxious things we have to eat? It's a very relative world. We look down upon someone. Kya khara? You look at the pig. What is it eating? And the pig may look at the worm in the stool and whatever. They may think. And we may be looking down at the pigs and say, what an obnoxious food. But the human being is eating and somebody who is very, very well off can look and say, what are you eating? And upstairs, Indra will be looking down upon us. He thinks he's having a big party. And Brahma will be looking upon all of us. Kya phase hue. Very relative world. सो नाना योनी सदा फिरे कदर्य भक्षण करे. बट दिस इज नॉट गोइंग टू सैटिस्फाई, दिस काइंड ऑफ फूड इज नॉट गोइंग टू सैटिस्फाई. तार जन्म अधपथे जाए, इवन दो इज ग्रोइंग ट्राइंग टू गो अप, तार जन्म अधपथे जाए, ही हैज टू फॉल डाउन बिकॉज ही डजंट हैव प्रॉपर शेल्टर. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, when he talks about bhakti, he says, he gives six unique specific characteristics of bhakti which is not there in any other process. Any other process, not jnana, not ashtanga, not karma, which is exclusive to bhakti, and it is not there in any other thing. And all that is offered by the others are included in this. In addition, there are six. And two of these characteristics come at each level. There is three levels of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice. Bhava bhakti, when there is ecstasy. And prema bhakti, that is the highest stage, highest stage of bhakti. So at the lowest level, sadhana bhakti, all of us, we have just started, hopefully, all of us here, has started the process. So even in sadhana bhakti, so what are the six? Klesha gni. Klesha means all kinds of distress. Gna means finished. From the root it is pulled out, never to be grown again, unless we ourselves allow it. Bhakti has the power to thoroughly pull out all the nonsense from the root. So, Klesha Agni and Shubhada. Shubhada means it is all auspicious. All auspicious. Moksha Laghutakrit. Even Moksha, the liberation, Brahmananda, becomes insignificant. Laghutakrit. Moksha, which is, jnanis are aspiring after that. Laghutakrit. Laghuta means it becomes insignificant. Sudurlabha. And it is very, very rare. Sandrananda visheshatma. Intense, concentrated love. Concentrated. And Sri Krishna, Karshanichasa. And it attracts Krishna. That love is so powerful. Generally, Krishna attracts the souls. Generally, a magnet attracts an iron filing. But suppose a magnet the size of this room is kept there. Very powerful magnet of this room size. And then just next to that magnet, you keep about 20 feet away, a little iron filing. What will happen to the iron filing? Naturally, it will be attracted to the magnet. But suppose the magnet starts moving towards the iron filing. This is unique. This is exactly what happens. Just because of one Prahlad, 5-year-old child's love and call of love, his love was so much. Narsingadev from the spiritual world was attracted to appear from the pillar. That is the power of love. Sri Krishna, Karshanichasa. You can actually attract the powerful magnet who attracts everyone is attracted. That is the power of prema bhakti. So sandhananda visheshatma and in concentrated love and attraction in the Lord, that happens only in prema bhakti. And in bhava bhakti, moksha laghutakrit, moksha becomes insignificant. But sometimes we also do bhakti for moksha. Moksha from poverty. Artharthi. Krishna, I am doing bhakti. Simultaneously make sure that you know. At least basic needs are met. Jyada nahi puch raha. You should understand. I won't ask you, but you should know my heart and give me. Liberation. We are all asking for liberation from miseries, liberation from diseases, liberation from poverty, liberation from anxiety, too much. What is this? I came to you after chanting, this is what? I'm going to go to someone else. So, even we are asking little liberations. No liberation. Mama janmani janmani jore. I don't care wherever you put me. Put me in hell, I don't care, Krishna. But I am experiencing so much of love for you. I don't care wherever you put me, I don't care. But just don't deprive me of your service. I don't want to go away from this world. I don't care. Wherever you go. We can't factually do this. It's a fact. But at least in our stage of sadhana bhakti, two things are guaranteed. First installment. The first installment is klesha ghni. Completely all the distress. Born because of three kinds of distress is born because of three. One is papam. Papam means what we have already done. Bijam means what we are going to do. 100% going to do. Because the desires are there in the heart. Only facility is not there. One of my friend would always say, morality is a lack of opportunity. Why moral? Because so far I have not got an opportunity. So, papam means what we have already performed. Going against the will of the Lord, going against the law of nature. But bija means so many material desires which are actually not favorable, which are potentially there, which is eventually going to manifest. And there also, there is a subtle kutam. Kutam means a general desire which is not yet specific. Becomes specific. It's not become yet specific. And then there is the root of all of this, that is avidya. Avidya means ignorance of one's natural constitutional position. That what is that avidya? Ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan sukhi. I am the Lord, I am the Master. I'm trying to enjoy. Why am I being slapped? I'm simply trying to enjoy. God has put me, not God, I have just found myself here. Finders are keepers. I'm going to do this and suddenly I get a slap. Nobody is telling me anything. Why? So he thinks, oh, this type of enjoyment is not good. I will try to creative way of enjoying. No. Creative way of slap. We get slapped again and again. So avidya, the root cause is we don't know our identity. Who we are. We are not the Lord. We are the servants. So, from avidya is born so many kuta. Kuta means deep propensity, inclinations to perform all nonsense. That specifically becomes desires. And when that desire is acted upon, that is papam. For example, let's say a man committed some theft. Because of his papa karma. He will be born in a particular family with all propensities for cheating, lying. That will be general nature. Cheating, lying, stealing, all that propensity is there. That is called kuta. And when that kuta becomes very specific, that becomes bija. For example, stealing. But then he decides, I will steal this cycle. That is bija. So that general tendency has become very specific now. And that bija, he can smash it and finish it off. But when, he says, I want to, he starts planning now. And one day he actually steals it. That is papam. And after papam, then prarabdham. Prarabdham is what he is already getting it now. In the police station, beaten up or whatever. Or caught up. mental suffering, guilt, and physical suffering, whatever way it comes. But bhakti is so powerful that even the prarabdha, that you have already got a body in a low class family, dog eater's family, still that fellow, yannamadheya shravananu kirtanab, yat prahvanad, yat smaranadapi kvachit, shvadopi sadhya sabanaya kalpate, kutah punahte bhagavanmu darshanat. Devahuti tells Lord Kapila, yannamadheya shravananu kirtanad, by glorifying the Lord, namadheya shravana anukirtanad, yat prahvanad, prahvanad with bowing down, smaranad api kochit, little, if you remember the Lord. Shwadaha, shwa means dog, adaha means eater or cooker. Prabhupada says cooker. Cooker means one who cooks. So dog eater or a dog cooker. Shwadaha api sadhyaha. Sadhya means instantly, immediately. Savanaya kalpate. Savanaya means able to perform yajnas, which are entitled only to those people, brahmanas, who are actually trained up in that particular or are elevated through samskaras and training. Kutah punaste bhagavannu darshanat. Then what to speak of that person who is seeing you face to face, my Lord? So in this way, kleshagni, from the root, billions and billions of lifetimes of sinful activities and the propensities and kuta and bija and prarabdha and aprarabdha, sanchita, all this karma, wholesale, lock, stock, barrel, everything will be burnt out. Karman inirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. It is the first installment. And the second installment that comes in our stage, we can experience. We see actually when you take up to the process of devotion service, even the inclination to perform all these things or eat certain kind of foodstuffs gradually goes away. First we thought we couldn't live with it. I mean without it. Can't live without it. How can people live without it? Now we can't imagine living with it. How is it? In one lifetime this has happened? And the second thing is, Shubhada. Shubhada means auspicious. So, for a person who has taken up to devotion service, he doesn't have to consider all this. Agni, Suryo, Diva, Praha, Shuklo, Rato, Tara. Actually, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter. How to attain the Lord. A yogi, how he should plan his death. The art of living is the how to die. Real art of living means how to die successfully. Who has really lived? Oh, those who successfully died. Life is a preparation, death is the examination. You will be examined, you will be tested about what is your consciousness that you maintain throughout your life. That will be the test. And in this test, no copying is allowed. You can't take a shortcut. We will be tested. You can't cheat. So, otherwise, for a yogi, he has to die between June and December. Sorry, January to June. After June 20, now if you die, Hare Krishna. We are not responsible. You have to come back. They have to die during Uttarayana. They have to die in the day, from sunrise to sunset. They have to die nearby a fire. So many conditions are there. Why? Because these are things that facilitate our travel. They are like toll guys, you know. Chodega nahi. And when we go from here to Wada, there are one fellow, toll fellow, very nice fellow. He says, smiles and lets us go without paying toll. Sadhu, are aap se kya lena, jao, jao, jao. Other places, specifically, Can you imagine if all toll fellows are very smooth, favorable? How smooth journey will be to our destination. But if all are hard-nosed and say, pay extra, extra load is there. Stand in the way queue and, you know, there are so many toll booths from here to, you know, if you have to go. So all these are predominating deities of all this, and they are all facilitators. They will facilitate your journey. But if you die during Dakshinayana, if you die during night, if you die during, you know, smoky time, you have to come back. But at the end of all of this, Krishna says, Naite Suti Partha Janan Yogi Muhyati Kashchana. A devotee doesn't care. Auspicious time, inauspicious time. Death by arrangement or death by accident. No concern. Why? Because the vehicle of a devotee is like a government fire brigade vehicle. Tong, tong, tong. Everyone says, ah, chalo bhai, chalo, chalo. Nobody is going to stop. Even toll followers, the other vehicles, get away. Thoda pani chahiye, khana bhi chahiye, to le jao. It's actually sad. Devotee is a Krishna's fire brigade man. Samsara dava nala lida loka. A devotee who surrendered to the Lord is Krishna's fire brigade man, you know. Wherever there is fire, Krishna says, I want devotees to go there. Yes, sir. Everyone cooperates with ambulance and fire brigade. Relief work and emergency dealings. It's like that. No toll for everything. Everything opens. All the gates open. All the facilities will simply allow, will all cooperate and facilitate to move towards wherever you want to go. Of course, the devotee wants to go where Krishna wants him to go. So in this way, he doesn't have to consider about auspicious, inauspicious, accident or arrangement. I have to die on Ekadashi only. Eh? You can't try. Unless you commit suicide, you'll come as a ghost. What can you do? The best devotees can only pray. It's a nice day. Someone's appearance day. Let go. Actually, whichever time such a person leaves, that time becomes auspicious. That place becomes auspicious. That day becomes auspicious. It becomes a holy day. You have to mark in the Vaishnava calendar. One more wonderful day. So it's the other way around. They don't have to worry about auspicious, inauspicious, accident, arrangement. It facilitates. So therefore, it is all auspicious. Shubhada. So, Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, what is actually Shubhada? We don't have to make an auspicious arrangement for our passage. It is already auspicious when we are engaged in devotional service. Because this path is automatically an express highway. So it's explained, why it is auspicious? Shubhani Prinanam Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata Sadguna Sukham Ityadini Akhyatani Manishibhi. The wise explain that there are four types of auspiciousness. Affection for all living entities, being attractive to all living entities, possessing good qualities and happiness as well as other items. So he says, predominantly four, and there are many more auspicious qualities automatically develop. What is that? Preenanam sarva jagatam. Preenanam sarva jagatam means such a person has deep affection for all living entities. He has no hatred. He has no envy. He has no anger. He has no anxiety. Because he has affection for all living entities. Secondly, being attractive to all living entities. All living entities are attracted to such a personality. This is auspiciousness. And third, possessing of all good qualities. And fourthly, experience genuine internal happiness. Genuine happiness. Automatically this happens. And as you rise up in devotional service, this happiness increases. Shubhata means little happiness. This little happiness is too much for us. For an ant, even one drop of charanamrita is enough to drown. So like that, bhakti, rasa, amrita, sindhu, bindu. One bindu is enough for us to drown. So, the first installment is, the happiness of devotional service becomes so much that other happiness that we were seeking so far is lesser than that. This is Shubhada. We can experience even in this stage, just because of chanting Hare Krishna, tasting prasadam, tasting the association of sincere, pure-hearted devotees, we are so much, the happiness that we derive in that association, that kind of activity, that kind of service, is compared to that, all other activities where we would find so-called happiness becomes reduced. This is first stage at sadhana bhakti. At bhava bhakti, if that is an ocean, this becomes a drop. Pukshalaguta, even the highest happiness of this material world becomes an insignificant when you have bhava bhakti. But that bhava is sudurlabha. Why sudurlabha? Because you can't acquire it. It has to be awarded. Someone has to award it. Therefore, it's not in your hands. 10 people, qualified people may go to the interview. Who will be given the job? You can't demand. All are qualified. But that job is awarded to someone. You can't barge into the kingdom of God. Bhava bhakti is sudurlabha because it has to be awarded by Krishna. You can't say, Krishna, so much sadhana I have done, better give me bhav. Krishna says, thoda bhav badh gaya tere, jao. Nothing. This cannot happen in front of Krishna. You can't do that. And in prema bhakti, sandhrananda. Sandhra means the happiness of prema to Krishna is so intense, so concentrated that there is no chance of sense gratificatory thought entering also. It's like lead. Why? The X-ray people wear lead coat. You know why? Because lead, it's, what do you say? Density. The molecules are so densely there, that even X-rays which passes through our body, there are no holes in our body, but still it passes. But if you have a lead, it doesn't even pass through. So a person who has prema, love for Krishna, even a thought cannot pass through like that. There is no place for the thought. It is so packed. Like it's not a sponge. Sponge means little air. If you pour water, everything stays in the sponge. Nothing comes out. But if you put lead in a bucket of water, take out any time, nothing goes inside and it is untouched. The water simply just is around. That's the happiness. They can't think. And the most concentrated of that is Srimati Radharani. Her life is for Krishna. Her every thought, her every word, her every action is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, she's dead. That's why Radharani didn't open her eyes. So what is the use of opening eyes? Whom to see? Why should I open my ears? Whom should I hear? Without Krishna, shunya itam jagat sarvam, govinda virahin. So that is very, very high. But for us, at least other things are slightly 60-40. Theek hai, something. So, Shubhada, that is the first installment. That Sukham, we experience a higher level of happiness. The second thing is, Sadgunaha. All wonderful qualities automatically start manifesting. just like that hunter, Mrigari, who met Narada Muni. And following the instruction of Narada, a guru, acharyopasanam, he simply did what he was told. He didn't meditate on anything else, how to develop good qualities, how to develop positive attitude, nothing. He just followed the order of Narada Muni, chanting the holy name. And by that process, quality of broad-mindedness, quality of vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane shuni chaiva shopake cha pandita samadarshina, he started seeing the soul in every living entity. He developed compassion. He developed deep sense of love, not to hurt anyone, non-violent, everything. He never meditated on all these qualities. They were the insignificant byproducts of his bhakti. And such a person becomes attractive to everyone and he is affectionate to everyone. Therefore, bhakti is the highest welfare activity. Prabhupada explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the highest welfare activity. Because if you give him this, everything else will be finished. Everything else will automatically come. You don't have to make an extraneous endeavor. By giving a person 1 crore rupees, and 1 lakh is there, 1,000, all the problems are 1,000, 1 lakh, and 10 rupees, and 1 rupee, all problems are solved. Therefore, this is the highest welfare activity if we can give Krishna to others. I would like to, this Prabhupada explains that, all auspicious means welfare activities for the people of the world. Many welfare groups are trying in terms of society. So many societies are formed, welfare of the society. Or community welfare activities, national welfare activities, or world welfare activities, UNO. But it is not practically possible due to shortcomings of limited national activities. Because if you are focused on one, then others are your enemies. You are envious of someone else. You are in anxiety what that person may do. Whether it is national, international, whatever. Because it is based on the bodily conception of life, it cannot ultimately do welfare and it cannot remove all the miseries from the mind. Whereas, the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that it renders the highest benefit to entire human race. Everyone can be attracted by this movement and everyone can feel the benefit, the result. Everyone is attracted and everyone is benefited. Therefore, a broad propaganda program for Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service all over the world is the highest humanitarian welfare activity. Prabhupada concludes by saying, even animals and trees become attracted by such a movement. And he quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveling through the Jharikhanda forest. I would like to read that section before we conclude. In the Chaitanya Madhulila, how this attraction for all living entities and all living entities being attracted, how does it happen? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. First time he went, somehow it didn't work out. He came back on Sanatana Goswami's request. The second time, he took only Balabhadra Bhattacharya alone and he went. And in this chapter, which is chapter 17 of Madhya Leela, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, every chapter, he begins with one verse which tells the essence of the chapter. He says, the essence of this chapter, he concludes in one shloka, it says, Gacchan Vrindavanam Gauro Vyagrai Bhanaima Vyagrai Bhaina Khagan Vane Premon Mattan Sahon Rityan Vidadhe Krishna Jalpina. On his way to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the forest of Jharikhanda and made all the tigers, elephants, deer, and birds chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and dance. Thus, All these animals were overwhelmed by ecstatic love. Somewhere here? Yeah, that. So you can meditate on that picture as you hear this pastime. I will quickly read this pastime in just another few minutes. It says, very sweet. I would like to, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes each aspect of this particular journey. So, imagine Mahaprabhu traveling from Jagannath Puri alone, very effulgent, bright sannyasi, along with a servant, personal servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Prasiddha Fata Chadi Prabhu Upapathe Chalila Kataka Dahine Kori Bone Praveshila. The Lord abandoned walking on the well-known public road and went instead along a bypass. He thus kept the city of Katak on his right as he entered the forest. From Katak, he turned right and went into the Jharkhand forest. Nirjana Vane Chale Prabhu Krishna Nama Laya Hasti Vyaghya Pratha Chade Prabhure Dekhiya. When the Lord passed through the solitary forest, chanting the holy name of Krishna, the tigers and elephants, seeing him, gave way. Generally, if we see a tiger, we give broad way. But when Mahaprabhu was going, the tigers and elephants saw, oh, Mahajan is coming, move aside, don't disturb. They moved away. Pale pale vyaghra hasti, gandara shukar gan, tar madhye aveshe prabhu karila gaman. When Lord Chaitanya passed through the jungle in great ecstasy, packs of tigers, elephants, rhinoceros and bears, boars came and the Lord passed right through them. Tigers came and Hari Bol. Dekhi Bhattacharya mane hoye mahabhoy, prabhura pratapetar ekapash hoy. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was very much afraid to see them. Can you imagine tigers, elephants, gendas, rhinoceros, boars, wild boars coming? But by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence, all the animals stood to one side. Eka dino patho vyagre kariya che sayan, aveshetar gaye prabhu lagila charan. One day a tiger, very large Bengal tiger, one day tiger was lying on the path and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walking along the path in ecstatic love touched the tiger with his feet. Gently kicked him. Prabhu kahe kaha Krishna vyagra uthila Krishna Krishna kahi vyagra nachite lagila. The Lord said, chant the holy name of Krishna. The tiger immediately got up and began to dance and chant Krishna Krishna. Ardine Mahaprabhu kare nadisnan, matta hasti utha ila karite jalapan. Another day while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing in a river, a herd of maddened elephants came there to drink water. Prabhu jala kritya kare age hasti aila, Krishna kaha boli prabhu jala phaili marila. While the Lord was bathing and murmuring the Gayatri mantra. Can you imagine when you are doing Gayatri in a river and the elephant starts, group of elephants come to take bath or drink. While the Lord was bathing and murmuring the Gayatri mantra, the elephants came before him. The Lord immediately splashed some water on the elephant and asked them to chant the name of Krishna. Sei jala bindu kana lage jar gai, Sei Krishna Krishna kahe preme nache gai. The elephants whose bodies were touched by the water splashed by the Lord began to chant Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and dance and sing in ecstasy. Keho bhume pade keho karaye chitkar, dekhi Bhattacharyar mane hoye chamatkar. Some of the elephants fell to the ground and some screamed in ecstasy. Seeing this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was completely astonished. Pathe jaite kare prabhu uccha sankirtan, madhura kantha dhvani suni ase mrigigan. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted very loudly while passing through the jungle. Hearing the sweet voice, all the does, the she deers came near him. Dahine vame dhvani suni yay prabhu sange prabhu tar angamuche shloka pade range. Hearing the Lord's great vibration, all the does followed him left and right. While reciting a verse with great curiosity, the Lord patted them. The Lord, Mahaprabhu, started chanting a particular verse because he was in mad ecstasy. He was thinking this is Vrindavan. So in that ecstasy, he chanted a verse. This verse is sung by the gopis. This is in the 10th canto, where the gopis came to the forest of Vrindavan and they saw some deers, he and she deers, looking at the Lord with their eyes and trying to lick the Lord. This is the way they were worshipping Nandanandan. So he said, he so quoted that verse, which means, blessed are those foolish deer because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the does and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. Heno kale vyagra tatha aila pancha sat vyagra mugi mili chale mahaprabhur sat. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through the jungle, 5 or 7 tigers came. Joining the deer, the tigers began to follow the Lord. This is a very special Sankirtan party. Dekhi Mahaprabhur Vrindavana Smriti Haila Vrindavana Gunavarnana Shloka Padila. Seeing the tigers and deer following him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered the land of Vrindavan. He then began to recite a verse describing the transcendental quality of Vrindavan. This verse that he quoted was quoted by Lord Brahma when he stole all the calves. For 1 year he was out. When he came back, he saw the Lord, he saw the cowherd boys, he saw the animals, all just lovingly playing together. And at that time, Brahma, with great astonishment, chanted this verse. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. There is no hunger, anger, or thirst there. Though naturally inimical, human beings and fierce animals live together there in transcendental friendship. I would like to read the purport. When he saw that Krishna was still busy with his cowherd boyfriends and animals and was not disturbed, Lord Brahma appreciated the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. Krishna, Krishna, kaha kari prabhu jave balila. Krishna, Krishna kahi vyagra mugi nachite lagila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Krishna, Krishna, the tigers and deer began to chant Krishna and dance. Nache kande vyagra gana mrugi gana sange balabhadra bhattacharya dekhe apurva range. When all the tigers and does danced and jumped, Balabhadra Bhattacharya saw them and was struck with wonder. Vyagra murgha anyonye kare alingan mukhe mukha diya kare anyonye chumban. Indeed, the tigers and deer began to embrace one another and touching mouths, they began to kiss. Hare Krishna. Kautuka dekhiya prabhu hasite lagila tasabake taba chadi age chali gela. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all this fun, he began to smile. Finally, he left the animals and continued on his way. And finally, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Mayuradi pakshi gana prabhure dekhiya sange chale krishna vali nache matto hoya. Various birds, including the peacock, saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to follow him, chanting and dancing. They were all maddened by the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Time is up, I think. It's a very subtle way of indicating. But I am now maddened by the ecstasy. I can't stop halfway. Jharikhanda has to come. Trip has to end. Hari bola boli prabhu kare uccha dhvani vrikshalata prafullita svei dhana dhvani suni. When Lord loudly chanted Hari bol, the trees and creepers became jubilant to hear him. Jharikhanda sthavara jangama ache jata Krishna nama Diya Koila Premete Unmatta. Thus, all living entities in the forest of Jharkhanda, some moving and some standing still, became maddened by hearing the holy name of Lord Krishna, vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would like to read one particular purport, which is very important for us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing the part of a very great advanced devotee. On the Mahabhagavat platform, the devotee makes no distinction between friends and enemies. On that platform, he sees everyone as a servant of Krishna. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shunichaiva Shvapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. A Mahabhagavat, being learned and advanced in spiritual consciousness, sees no difference between a tiger, an elephant, or a learned scholar. The test of advanced spiritual consciousness is that, please listen, the test of advanced spiritual consciousness is that one becomes fearless. He envies no one and he is always engaged in the Lord's service. He sees every living entity as an eternal part and parcel of Lord, rendering service according to his capacity by the will of the Supreme Lord. As Krishna confirms in the Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. The Mahabhagavat knows that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna is dictating and the living entity is following his dictations. Krishna is within the heart of the tiger, elephant and the boar. Therefore Krishna tells them, here is a Mahabhagavat, please do not disturb him. Why then should the animals be envious of such a great personality? Those who are neophytes and even those who are a little progressed in devotional service should not try to imitate the Mahabhagavat. Very important lesson. Can't go to Jharkhanda and try it out. Khanda khanda. Jari jari. You'll be just cut to shreds. Rather, they should only follow in his footsteps. The word anukara means imitating and anusara means trying to follow in the footsteps. We should not try to imitate the activities of a Mahabhagavat Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our best effort should be exerted in trying to follow them according to our ability. The Mahabhagavat's heart is completely freed from material contamination and he can become very dear and to even fierce animals like tigers and elephants. Indeed, the Mahabhagavat treats them as his very intimate friends. On this platform, there is no question of envy. When the Lord was passing through the forest, he was ecstatic, thinking the forest to be Vrindavan. He was simply searching for Krishna. So, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, as so many times we have heard by his very, very loving disciples, this particular statement, Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan to bring Vrindavan wherever he went. This is his contribution. He's given us the process by which we can become fearless, by which we become free from anxiety, we can become free from envy. Even beginning of this process, we can experience the distress coming down and all auspiciousness in terms of higher happiness, in terms of wonderful qualities manifesting, in terms of gradually developing deep affection for every living entity without envy, hatred, anger, anxiety or fear, and naturally wanting to do welfare for every living entity. This will actually automatically manifest. And such a person really doesn't care about arranging his passage back home, back to Godhead. As Parikshit Maharaj, at the end, you know, end of first canto, he says, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra gangacha devi dhritachitta mishe dvijopasrishta kuhakas takshakova dashatvalam gayat vishnu gatha. Can you imagine? Powerful emperor of the world In 1 second, he is given a shock. In 7 days, you will die. Emperorship of the unrivaled emperorship of the planet. So much opulence, good wife, wonderful children, powerful children, and respect, honor, distinction from the whole world. Everyone knew. And he had such great heritage. He was a great devotee of the Lord. Absolutely dedicated to Krishna's service. And then suddenly this shock came. But then he says, he immediately was prepared. And he sat on the banks of the Ganges and he said, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra. All the brahmanas, all the wonderful. This is the mercy of the Lord that all of you have come at this time. I was so attached to all these things forcefully because Lord knew that I won't actually be detached easily. In the form of, the Lord has mercifully come in the form of the curse of a Brahmana. And he's pulled me from all this inauspiciousness. And now, all of you are surrounded and glorifying the Lord, and I have taken shelter of Mother Ganga, which is nothing but Charanamrit of the Lord, non-different from the Lord in that sense. Ganga cha Devi, Dhrita Chittam Ishe. Dhrita Chittam, that means, now I have taken the lotus feet of the Lord within my heart. He says, what is that third one? Dvijopa Srishta, Dvija, Dvija means that Brahmana, whatever he has created, Kuhaka Takshakova, whatever is that form of death I am supposed to receive, let it come. Gayatu Vishnu Gatha. But you please continue to chant the holy name because I am experiencing Kathamrita, Krishna Kathamrita, Hari Kathamrita. This Amrita I am drinking, let this body go. Who cares? My soul is being nourished. So we see through Bhagavatam, and that's what Mahaprabhu gave, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Avalam. The process, if we can follow this, we don't have to worry about whether it is day or night or June or December or where we are, auspicious time or inauspicious time or accident or arrangement or whatever. Whatever happens, happens. But we should be engaged in serving the Lord. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvanna pinalityate. I would like to conclude with one purport to one particular verse. I would like you to go back and read. This is Bhagavad Gita 5.7. This tells us practically what it means for us. How to do this? We are talking about self-realization. From causal designation, from subtle designation to causal, causal to pure designation. This particular verse, 5.7, it says, Yoga yuktaha, one who is engaged in devotional service, Vishuddhatma, he is pure. Vijitatma, he is completely, his mind is peaceful and controlled. Jitendriya, his senses are under control. Sarvabhuta, Atma Bhutatma, he is compassionate to every living entity. Kurvannapi nalipyate, even though he is engaged in activities in this world, he doesn't get entangled. That means, his journey back home, back to Godhead is going on smoothly. And he won't get entangled anywhere, in any planet, because his focus is on spiritual world. I would like to just conclude with this particular purport. One who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna. Just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. He knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness, this is important. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all. He is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of his being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. And such a person, even though working, kurvannapi na lipyate, he doesn't get entangled. He may be performing his responsibilities, but because he is focused on Krishna, knowing his goal as a servant of eternal servant of the Lord and servant of everyone in relationship with the Lord, for him there is no concern about when to go, how to go. He knows the Lord is going to arrange for that. That is his responsibility. I am doing his work, and now that is his responsibility to do my work however he wants. That's Sharanagati. Thy will be done, my Lord. Whatever you will, whatever you wish, wherever you want me to go, however you want me to serve. This consciousness is what bhakti is all about. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma adi anavadam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttamam. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has created. And to the extent we follow, we can actually experience Vrindavan. Our faith in actual Vrindavan there increases. Otherwise, how is it possible? People of different culture, different states, different colors, and different. Can you imagine in Prabhupada when, you know, German and Jews, hated enemies, coming and dancing together? We may not do tigers and, but natural enmity. Certain particular, you know, communities and particular countries, particular people can't stand the other person. Natural hatred, you don't know why. Then let's overcome in the process of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much and sorry for the delay.